Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This translates into significant cuts that will affect every part of our operation and cannot be sugarcoated. They will impact direct service and customer convenience, and they will impact our workforce.
No sugar on that bitter pill. That was MTA President and CEO Lee Sander on this morning's announcement that the MTA is planning major fare hikes and service cuts as a way to deal with a $1.2 billion budget shortfall. That's a 23% fare increase that's expected to go into effect in June or July. It looks like the subway the base fare is going to be $2.50. That's up from $2, and a monthly Metro card is going to cost you as much as $100. That's not all. Major service cuts are also being proposed as well. They're planning for a total elimination of the W and the Z trains, plus cutbacks on service on the G and the M, affecting commuters to and from Manhattan from the outer boroughs, Brooklyn and Queens. Needless to say, people are not pleased. Back with us from the MTA board meeting is Pete Donahue, transit reporter for the Daily News. Also with us is Robert Buzz Paswell, civil engineering professor and director of University Transportation Research Center at City College and City University of New York. Welcome back to WNYC, both of you.
Good to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So, Pete, anything happen today at the MTA board meeting?
Yeah, there's a little bit of activity here. Basically, they dropped the bomb. I mean, the details that we've been reporting in the news over the last week were officially presented, and it's ugly. We're talking about cuts to buses, subways. Anything that they do here is going to be reduced, and potentially strap hangers are going to have to pay a lot more.
So what's the headline out of this?
I don't know what the headline is, but the next move is, maybe the MetroCard's in Albany's court. I mean, the MTA board members, more than I've ever heard them before, were appealing, begging, telling Albany, you created us. We have a structural funding problem that's been here for years, and it's up to you to fix it.
And is Albany more than likely going to go then turn to the federal government and say, help us, help the MTA?
Well, I mean, the MTA is going to the feds as well. I mean, yeah. I think the hope here is that Governor Patterson of the legislature will create some new funding streams, a gasoline tax, what have you, new tolls, something that would avoid this, devastating service cuts to the system. And they're talking about 2,800 jobs will be lost. That includes layoffs, most of them from New York City Transit, including station agents and toll booth clerks and bus drivers, dozens of bus routes that will just disappear, and many others that will be gone, during different parts of the day.
We'll have a few minutes to take some of your calls on the MTA fare hike and service cuts. How is it going to affect you? Are you considering changing your mode of transportation as a result? Will you have to cut out those other things in your life that you can't afford because of this fare increase? Give us a call at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. So, Pete, how did they get into this mess?
Well, I mean, in the very short term, it's the economy and the collapse of the real estate market. But it all goes back. I think a lot of experts and even elected officials will agree is they've got what they call a structural funding imbalance, and it goes back. Frankly, it's under the Pataki years where the capital plan was starved of state money and the MTA borrowed heavily, and now those debt payments are coming due. And there's other structural problems. The MTA, not to put too positive a light on it from their side, but the subways and buses moves school students, and that's about $100 million a year. Well, the state and the city only pay about about half of that, and the same with the paratransit operation. So they have these built-in funding gaps, and plus the underfunding over years has just come at the worst time as the economy is. As you know, he's just tanking.
Let me bring Buzz in here. Buzz, these kinds of decisions always seem to affect outer borough residents so much worse than Manhattanites. Statistically, those in the outer borough have less income than Manhattan folks, so are less easily able to absorb those added costs. And they usually have the longest commutes, which will in some cases be made significantly longer with these service changes. Has there ever been a proposal that affected Manhattanites more than out-of-borough folks?
Well, you know, first of all, it affects everyone. I mean, there's no question that the longer your trip and the lower your income, and if you combine the two, the harder you're going to be hit. But let's break it down into two parts. The first part is the fact that if you want to have the kinds of quality of service that you have today, and let's not talk about the cuts tomorrow, but the kind you have today or the kind the mayor has proposed for Plan 2030, enough to support a growing workforce, you need 24-hour service and the amount of bus and transit service, and that costs a certain amount of money. Now, in order to support that, you need a certain set of subsidies, and you need fares, at least for the operating side, to balance it. And the fares are always set politically; they're never set by any manager. So, in one sense, you're tying the hands of the people to play around with fares a little bit. But for the equity issue, if equity is really an issue, if the mayor and the governor say it's very important for the health of the city for those of lower income to be able to commute at the lowest possible price, that becomes a social policy. On one side, the MTA has a specific cost. To provide every trip, it costs a certain amount of money. Just as to bake every bagel that I buy every morning, it costs a certain amount of money. Well, it costs a certain amount of money for a trip. If you want those trips, it has to be paid for. That's the MTA's job, to provide transportation. To provide the policy issues, that's the city and the state. And I think Pete put his hand on it. The state and the city basically began to starve the MTA, and now they'll be the loudest ones speaking for the issues of equity and the issues of employment and the other issues. They have a very strong responsibility to back that up with either subsidizing the fare or coming up with subsidizing jobs or providing homes closer to work sites, especially in the outer boroughs, or a number of policies that say we're in this too. To abdicate that or to allow the draconian cuts that was presented at the board meeting this morning to take place would be a real tragedy for the city.
Let me get a phone call in here. Cassandra is in Brooklyn. Cassandra, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Go ahead. What are you going to do, Cassandra?
Well, there's a few things. Well, I mostly ride my bike, so I'm going to be doing that more. But also, if I have a few errands to run, instead of taking the train here and then paying again for the train, I try to utilize that free subway transfer or that free subway to bus transfer. I'll take the bus one way and then a free transfer on the subway back, so I don't have to pay twice.
Right.
And also just trying to share with people. Like right now, I try to use my landlord's Metro card on Sundays because they don't use it. So I'd maybe try to go in on it so I could use it more frequently versus buying my own. And I don't know if so many people are going to do that it's going to result in fewer people buying Metro cards and that maybe not raising income for the MTA.
Right. All right, Cassandra, let me kick that question around here. Thanks for your call. Pete, what have you heard from people, commuters at the meeting today?
Mostly advocates and elected officials,
right.
and it was mixed. It was overwhelmingly against this, obviously. A lot of them were calling on Albany and the federal government to fix a problem. They were appealing to the board members not to go through with this. But as the chairman said, you know, they are legally bound by state law to present a balanced budget and adopt a balanced budget. And it has to have reasonable expectations. And they cannot reasonably expect that the state and the city are going to provide additional funds, given the history over the last couple of years, if not decades. And so they only have two, as they say, they only have two tools at their disposal, and that is to cut costs and to raise fares.
All right. Let
someone else could have to step in.
Let me get another call in here. Richard from Manhattan. Richard, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. First, I live in Manhattan. I'm fortunate in that sense. I'm wondering if the Detroit strategy could be used of filing Chapter 11 and restructuring the union contracts, and if that would help.
Buzz, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it always comes down to let's lower the cost of the people who are driving your buses and riding your trains. I think that you can lower the cost of the contracts. You can, in a sense, privatize. The experience from Europe, and I was at a meeting in Paris a couple of years ago, where the results of privatization in 14 countries over 10 years was presented. And yes, one, it did lower costs, but but two, the outset was it also lowered the quality of service. And I think that the one thing we can't afford to have is a lowered quality of service. The labor con, if you can save a few percent on that, that's not going to address the huge structural problems that Pete talked about in the beginning, the huge gap in the capital program, or the fact that out of every dollar you pay in fares, 20 cents of that goes to repaying debt, not to operating the subways. And my suggestion when I talk to the Ravage Commissioner or I talk to anybody who listens to me is the first thing the state and the city should do is assume repayment of the debt. This is the only transit property in the United States in which debt payment comes out of operating expenses. So the riders are being hit in a double way. First, they pay more than any other transit property in the United States for the cost of the ride to start out with. In other words, the state and the city subsidize it less than other places. And secondly, out of that, they have to repay the capital also. And if you just repay the debt service to have the city and state take care of that, you probably wouldn't have to have the draconian cuts. You might need a slight fare increase, but you could probably take care of the cuts. So the city and the state not only have to come up to the plate, they have to be innovative. And one last word about Washington. The history of the federal government, federal Department of Transportation, in the last 25 years has been that they'll help with capital, and you might find capital things, but there probably will be nothing coming to paying the operating expenses. So what was put on the table today, how are we going to pay operating expenses? You can't go to Washington. That's considered by Washington a local problem. So right. we have to be innovative here.
All right, let me get Rusty in here. Rusty in Astoria, real quick, I got about 30 seconds for you.
Hey, how do you do? Like I said, my name is Rusty. I'm calling in from Astoria, and I just wanted to voice how utterly necessary and what a beautiful thing that MTA subway is. I mean, the fact that you can take it all the way from one end to the other for $2 flat is a miracle by some standards. Before, I came from California and San Francisco, and you could pay as much as $5 one way, depending on how far you were going. I think it's essential, and I think it has to be kept alive.
$5 each way, Rusty?
Yeah. If you want to ride from Oakland out to SFO Airport,
right,
it costs $5 one way.
All right, Rusty. I'm going to leave it at that, Rusty. Thanks very much for your call. So Rusty has the last word today. I want to thank our guest, Pete Donahue, who is a transit reporter for the Daily News. Also with us was Robert Buzz Paswell, who's the civil engineering professor and director of University Transportation and Research Center at CCNY and CUNY. Thanks very much for both of you.
Thank you.
You can follow this conversation on our website. Click on WNYC.org, the Brian Lehrer page. David Cruz in for Brian Lehrer. Thanks very much for listening.